In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints who have come to this Mount Calvary, sinners ruined by the fall, here a pure and healing fountain flows for you, for me, for all. We consider especially today, dear saints, the parable of the Good Samaritan, as is known. I'll read it again. A man, the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, says to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, stripped him, beat him, departed him, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three," Jesus asks him, "do you think was neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" The man answered, "The one who showed mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." Dear saints, too often, after I have arrived at my destination driving my car, I can't exactly tell you how I got there. I can't remember taking that exit or making that turn or stopping at that stoplight on the way. I think I must go on autopilot. And I think you probably do too. Our Jesus, dear saints, gives us a parable of two men who are on their way, and they walk right past the man who needed their help. They were not spacing out. They were not on autopilot. The text says the priest, by chance, was going down that road. The text says the Levite came to the place and he saw the man and passed by on the other side of the road. They know exactly how they got to the place where they were going. In part, it was the opposite side of the man who needed their help. Our sinful nature's autopilot, dear saints, is curved in on itself. It is quite distracted by ourselves, what is happening inside of here and inside of here, and it is quite motivated in what we want and in what we think we need to do. We are curved in on ourselves, and our Jesus comes and he curves us outward by telling us the parable of the Good Samaritan, by having us consider the question, "And who is my neighbor?" Who was the one who proved to be neighbor? It is pointing us outside of ourselves. And the Lord's word, which the man gets right when he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all of your strength and with all of your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself," it points us out. It snaps us out of autopilot and out of our very own selfishness. As we are on our way in our homes and in our churches and in our places of work and everywhere we go, we are to be constantly asking that question, "And who is my neighbor?" They surround us. Perhaps it is the ones that we know and love most that we are tempted to space out. to go on autopilot, to not see them as opportunities to show mercy, because we walk right past them all day long. They are not put there by chance. They are God's good and gracious will that they are there. Perhaps there are others that we see and intentionally go to the other side. And even the ones that are closest to us in our walking and in our seeing and in our by chances are not immune from us intentionally ignoring them and the good that we could do. Jesus, dear saints, today pulls us out of ourselves, out of autopilot, out of selfishness, and into faith in Him and love for others. But the parable of the Good Samaritan, I think, that is only a secondary purpose of it. Because Jesus, quite specifically, tells this parable to a man who is seeking to justify himself. He is seeking because he thinks that he is completed, that he is doing quite perfect in the loving your neighbor as yourself. He is stuck in his pride and he needs to be pulled out. He is stuck in his self-justification and he needs to be pulled out. So Jesus tells this parable. And I think that this parable is kind of like, do you know the story, if you give a mouse a cookie?
Yes.
Oh, he knows it. The story is kind of in summary. It's a story that shows us that there is never an end to the good that we could do, and even the demands of us. The story goes something like, if you give a mouse a cookie, he's going to ask for some milk. And if you give him some milk, he's probably going to ask for a straw. And when he's finished, he's probably going to want a mirror to see if he has a milk mustache. And then he's going to ask for a napkin. And eventually, you will end up giving him a pair of scissors for something, and a pillow, and some scotch tape. At the end, he'll ask for another cookie. And the story starts over. I think the same is true of the question, if you give a Christian some good works to walk in, if you give some Christians some good things to do in the places that they are and the people that they see and the by chances that they encounter. And that is how the scripture does speak of good works in one way. It speaks of walking in them. That we are saved by grace, not by our work. We cannot boast. We are created by Christ Jesus, His workmanship. And we are called to walk in the good works that He has prepared for us to do. Ephesians chapter 2. If you go to work, you might earn some money. And when you have that money, you might find some people who need that money. And if you give them that money, you will likely encounter other people who need that money. If you love and you serve your family in this way and in that way, you will quickly see how you are not loving and serving them in this way and that way, and that you are not loving and serving the other ones that are in your life. If you are busy doing this good work, then you cannot be busy doing that good work. If the priest and the Levite, whom we tend to be very hard on, would have stopped to help that man who was stripped and beaten up and robbed, then they could not have been in their regular neighborhood to walk in the good works that they were called to walk in there. This parable has a way of stretching us thin to the point of absolute exhaustion. Who is my neighbor? What can I do for them? There's too many of them. And I'm not even doing enough for the neighbors that are closest to me. It is so good, dear saints, to be pulled out of the autopilot of thinking about me. It is so good to hear of the go and do likewise, of the ought, of the love of the neighbor as ourself, of the showing of mercy to our neighbor, so that our eyes begin again to be open to who all they are. It is so good to be kind, even if your kindness is misused, to show mercy even if it's repaid with unthankfulness, to forgive and desire reconciliation, even if it results in insult and injury. There are so many opportunities to begin to see the healing and the kindness and generosity to the bodies and the souls of our neighbors that are beaten up and stripped and robbed and left feeling all alone and scared and unloved. That is good. And it is also good to feel exhausted by this. To recognize that there is absolutely no way to be completely stripped and to be robbed of any thought that we are doing enough to justify ourselves. We may have been able to give the mouse a cookie, but we couldn't do much more. There is so much to do, and there is so much that is left undone. So come to Calvary's holy mountain. If you are ruined by the sin that you have within, for here is the place where you find healing. Here is the place where you find not go and do alone, but when Jesus says it is done. The story is from Luke chapter 10, and the story is followed immediately by the story of Mary and of Martha. A Martha who was distracted with much serving, but a Mary who was chosen the good portion that will not be taken from her as she simply sits at the feet of her Lord and Savior Jesus. When it comes to justification, when it comes to doing enough or being enough, when it comes to receiving healing and being cared for and being carried, when it comes to remembering exactly how we got here, and when we get to heaven, exactly how we got there, when it comes to receiving mercy and being looked at in compassion and in not feeling alone or in love or inadequate, there is, dear saints, only one thing that is needful. And for this very quick moment, let us not be distracted by much serving, but in simply sitting at the feet of our Lord Jesus. And in sitting at his feet, we are reminded of an amazing thing. He has feet. He made himself our neighbor so he could love us. He walked to us and walks with us. He found us and came to us, not half dead, but dead in our sins and our trespasses. He found us and came to us, not beat up and stripped, but condemned and deserving of his wrath because we are not doing enough. And he did it for us. He is the one who binds up our wounds with the healing that is his wounds. He is our life, and he paid for it by his death. He is our complete acceptance, and he did it by being forsaken, and he is our rest by completing the work. And there is only one thing left for you to do when it comes to faith, and that is to receive, to sit, and to hear again and again that is done. When you, dear saints, are feeling stretched thin, then receive again and again the strong and the loving embrace of the arms who were stretched out for you. God pull us out of ourselves into faith in Him, not in despair, not in constantly saying, what else can I do? But in hearing of everything that He has done, in being able to answer the question, who is my neighbor? With the answer, Jesus is. The Son of God has brought you here today, whether you came here on autopilot or not. God, open your eyes to see your Jesus here as your neighbor, the one who has mercy on you, the one who sees you with eyes of compassion. We may sometimes space out on our way to our destinations, whether they are throughout the day or the week or throughout our lifetime. But our Jesus is never on autopilot. We may not always know how we got to where we're going or the by chances that we are encountering, but we are always in confidence, knowing the one who has brought us here and who will bring us there. And you are here. It is not by chance, for He wants to have mercy on you, to bind up your wounds, to pour wine that is His blood into you, that you begin to have healing. And so wherever we go from here, we are called to walk with Him in the good works that is our neighbors that we are encountering. They change. Those opportunities change. Those people change. But our Good Samaritan, who is our Savior, is the same. Yesterday, today, and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.